All right, I want to welcome you to 1 Corinthians Class 8. We'll be in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start reading in verse 10. And we'll try to cover down to about verse number 15. Verse number 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. So let's stop right there and go back. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus Christ is the way to God the Father. He is the way to salvation. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And so once you're saved, there is a life to build. There is a ministry to build. There is a church to build. And of course, we know that the church is all the believers collectively. Now, the church is not Catholic. The church is not Baptist. The church is not Pentecostal. The church is not Lutheran or Reformed. The church is all the saved that are in Christ Jesus. Now, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now in this reference, you may see a little discrepancy, or you may imagine a discrepancy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In this passage, it says that you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2:20, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, it's not saying that the apostles are the foundation. It's saying that the apostles laid the foundation. And in the sense that they laid the foundation, they preached the gospel. They were the first preachers of the gospel. That's why it says in Ephesians 1 that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, talking about the apostles, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. It was that word of truth that the apostles preached that everyone else on the planet hears and responds to through the scriptures. Now, it's not saying that the apostle Peter or the apostle Paul are the foundations, but they laid the foundation through their preaching. Jesus Christ is that foundation. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:10, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So it's important how we build our Christian lives as individuals. It's very important how we build our Christian lives as believers collectively. Or another good word for that I could use instead of collectively is corporately. As you go through passages in the Bible, for example, Romans chapter 8 and 28. For we know that we as a collective, it's not an individual. It says that we are predestinated. It doesn't say that I'm predestinated. And you go through that all the way through even the general epistles, where the Apostle John, he also refers to people as us or we. And that's a collective group of folks, believers. And when you read verses as back in Romans chapter 8, that says whom he did foreknow. And that's not a reference to any individual person. That's a reference to a specific type of person, which is believers. And believers, God predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's so much the text or the context of Ephesians chapter 1. If you'll look at that very closely and read it, I'm sure you'll see the same thing. So we're to take heed how we build on the foundation, whether we're building ourselves up or we're building others up. And that's the word used for that in the scripture is edification, edifice, the building of a building, the way in which that building appears, its edifice, its forefront, its appearance to the world. And of course, our appearance to the world, whether as an individual or a group, should be the very same as the way we appear on the inside. So other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has saved our soul, and he's washed and cleansed us and sealed us with his Spirit. And so the cleanliness that is on the inside. Ephesians 1 says the purpose of God for us is to present us holy and without blame. This is a work that's done on the inside, and it is something that we should be building towards on the outside. So he says, if any man build upon this foundation, I'm reading now in 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, that's the most expensive item in the list. And then he goes slightly downward, silver, then slightly downward, precious stones, then downward, wood, then a little less, hay, and then a little less, stubble. So you have very good gold, and you have very bad stubble. You can burn stubble. You can break it. You can burn hay. You can break it. You can burn wood. You can break it. Now, precious stone, very hard to burn. I have seen rocks fly apart under the heat of fire, but I've never seen one burn up like stubble or hay or wood. Now, silver, you can burn it, and the more you burn it, the cleaner it gets. And gold, you can burn it, you can melt it, but the more you melt it, the cleaner and the more valuable it becomes. So the Bible says when we build, when we get saved and we begin to go through discipleship, we begin to listen to preaching, we begin to read God's word, we are building a life, and it should be built of gold and silver and precious stones, and it could also be built of wood, hay, and stubble. Now, verse 13 gives us an indication of how we can see it. Every man's work shall be made manifest. We're going to be able to, it will be revealed to us what kind of life we are building for Christ. The Bible says, for the day shall declare it. Now, there is a teaching about the judgment seat of Christ here and how we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And our works, the way we built upon the foundation, will be judged. And certainly this can be an application to that. But I believe that every day that we live, not just the judgment day, but every day that we live, will declare and will manifest what kind of works we have, or what kind of discipleship, what kind of life we have, what kind of fellowship with God we have. The day will declare it, because it says it shall be revealed by fire. Now, that it could be a reference to literal fire at the judgment, and it could be a reference to the daily fire that we encounter, our trials, our temptation. If you're building wood, hay, and stubble, which I would teach would be carnal things. If we're building upon the foundation of Christ carnal things, we're trying to live a carnal life, then the fires of temptations and trials is going to burn that up and going to reveal it, and be very easy for us to give in to temptations and trials. And so I believe that this is certainly a reference to that. It says the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Shall try it. You're going to be tried on a daily basis, and your life, your relationship with Christ is solid because Jesus Christ paid for your entrance into the family of God, the fellowship with God. Your relationship is stable, but your fellowship is the thing that's going to be variable. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So the gold, the silver, the precious stones, the things that are built to last in your Christian life, they are going to abide the fire. They're going to pass temptation, whether it be in our physical life or whether it be at the judgment seat of Christ after this earthly life. And so he says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. I believe that things that are built around the Word of God, you're doing something because you're certain the Word of God says to do it. You're abstaining from things because you're certain that the Bible says to abstain from it. Those are very legal things, but the very legal things in the Bible are the most certain things. The Bible says to do it. The Bible says not to do it. So those things, I believe, are going to be golden. They're revealed by God. And of course, people who study, I don't do this much myself, but people who study certain types of typology, as in gold represents this, silver represents this, brass represents this. Well, those people would say gold represents divinity. And so if you're going to apply something like that here, then that divine work, that divine those divine attributes. You could refer those to the nature of God, the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, where he gives you several attributes that will keep you from falling. Those could fall under gold, because it's a reference to the divine nature. It could also be a reference to silver or precious stones, depending upon where they fall. Faith is a very simple thing. It has to do with the milk of the word. It's something that you can have right when you get saved. So that'd be a very simple thing. But as you traverse through those lists from 2 Peter chapter 1, through those characteristics from 2 Peter chapter 1, they become more difficult. You go from faith to knowledge, and then you get into things like temperance, which is a little bit more difficult, and then godliness, very difficult as far as the flesh is concerned. Brotherly kindness and charity, those things are more difficult than just faith. And I'm not saying anything is particularly easy or hard about either one of them. I'm just saying, in regards to the flesh, some of those things are more difficult to achieve than others. Faith can be very simple. A child can have faith, and the Lord recommends the faith of a child. Even if you're not a child any longer, the Lord recommends you to have faith as a child. And so as you go through these things, you will see gold, silver, precious stones. They're biblical things. If you're going to try to build on the foundation of Christ, the salvation that you received from Christ, you're going to try to build on that, I would recommend godly things and things that are spiritual. Prayer, the reading of the Word of God, the telling of the gospel story to others, which we call witnessing. You should implement those in your life, and those are going to abide the fire. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Now, when you get into humanistic things, when you get into humanism, providing for others' needs, you may run into some problems there, because those things can be done in a very humanistic way and in a very humanistic manner. Now, there are things that we consider to be humanism or social things, providing of food, providing of shelter, providing of clothing. Those can be done out of a pure heart. They certainly can. But many, many times these programs get instituted for the sake of, more selfish needs. You might get the idea of having a food pantry for your church, and you give out food. And those things can be done so that you can get people to come to church. And I'll give these people food and they'll come to church. Well, that's not the way you change people's lives. You give people food because they're hungry. And you can oftentimes find hungry people in your community that need food. There's no doubt about that. Normally that'll be children. Parents seem to find a way to feed themselves, even if they claim that they don't have all that they need to give to their children. You'll find that lost people, this is not true in every case, but lost people usually find a way to meet the needs of their own flesh. The devil said that all that a man hath will he give for his life, and that includes his children's safety and welfare. And if he'll do that to save his life, he'll often do that to save his fleshly pleasures as well. But what I'm trying to get across to you in this instance is that many times churches institute social programs or humanistic programs in order to get. They give to get. We'll give these things to the community. The community will come in. They'll support the church. They will sit in the pews. We'll have a record number and all of these things. And that is wood, hay, and stubble that will not abide the fire. The things that are done here that are going to transform over into godly works, gold, silver, and precious stones, those are things that are done for Christ, and those are things that will abide the fire. They're done for the sake of the gospel. They're done for the sake of those for whom the gospel was provided. That is, the souls of men, not the flesh of men, the souls of men. And so you can use those things for guidelines. And certainly if you're giving out food, the people who are receiving the benefit of it, they certainly are getting the benefit of it. But make sure when you do these things, if they're social or if they are humanistic in any way, I would pray that you're doing them for the right reason. If I'm going to feed somebody, I'm going to feed them because they're hungry. I'm not going to feed anybody to do their soul any good. I'm not going to do that. There's only one way that you can reach into the souls of men and make a difference, and that is preaching the Word of God, preaching God's will and God's purpose for those people. There's only one way to encourage folks, and that is by the Word of God. So many times we get up and we say what we've been through, and we tell what we've been through and how we made it, but we forget to tell them that it's only by God's grace and by God's means. We often forget the means. It's God's grace that I'm doing better today. And some people can take temporary solace or temporary consolation in those things. But before you get super excited and try to be super dynamic, remember that it's the truth that makes you free, not sets you free. That's not what the Bible says. The truth makes you free. And so you would encourage, you would strengthen, you would edify by preaching the truth, by telling the truth, by revealing the truth. And of course, you've got to do that through the Holy Spirit. But getting the truth revealed to the hearts of men is the way to get them saved. It's the way to get them established. It's the way to get them discipled. It's the way to get them encouraged. It's the way to implement joy and peace and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit that God wants to work into a man. They're done by doing it by God's means. The social, the economic, the humanistic is not a means of ministering to man's soul. It never has been, and it never will be. God doesn't use it. When the apostles met the invalid, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee." And they gave the man the greatest gift that he ever had. He leapt and he jumped and he shouted, but he didn't have money in his pocket. He didn't have food in his belly. I'm sure they took care of that at some point in time. But the lead-off ministry of Christianity is the preaching of the Word, the preaching of the Word. And the joy of the Lord make a hungry man very encouraged and very joyful. And that's true. I know that for a fact. I don't enjoy being hungry myself. I don't like the idea of doing without. I don't know anybody that does. But I have been through those times, and I do know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. I do know that for a fact. So if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Christian's salvation, the Christian's security is not in the quality of his works, just as the lost man's salvation is not found in works at all or the quality of his works. He's saved by grace through faith, and that not of himself. It is the gift of God. So he says here that if your work abides, you'll receive a reward for it. I believe that's true in this life, and I believe it's true in the life to come. He also says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. You lose a reward in the life to come. You can lose a reward in this life. You can lose benefits in this life. There's no question about that. If the man's work shall be burned, he says, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. The fire tries the works. The fire of trials and temptations and the sin debt and all those things were paid by Christ. And so they certainly will have an effect. Even after you're saved, the wages of sin is death. Sin will kill your mortal body. If you are following the flesh, the Bible says that the flesh, that you will of the flesh reap corruption. So that's a true thing and a permanent thing in this flesh. But salvation is whole, it's complete. If you're saved, you're saved. If your works are not living up to godly standards, they're wood, hay, or stubble. They may be burned, but your body will be saved. Your body will be saved. And the Bible says, again, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So there is a possibility of loss. There's a possibility of great loss once you're saved. But those are all having to do with the works of the flesh, the works of the body, the works of this life, the quality of your discipleship, whether good or bad, the quality of your Bible reading time, that whether or not you're believing God's word and getting the Spirit's interpretation, or you're reading God's word, and it is possible to read God's word and have a very fleshly interpretation of it, not come out with the right reward for that. The Bible says that the scripture, the prophecy of scripture, is of no private interpretation. Again, that's in 2 Peter chapter 1 as well. And so keep these things in mind. Do it the right way. It may be a little more involved. It may require a little more study. Much study is awareness to the flesh. We know that. But it may require that. But there's nothing in this world that's going to come easy without hard work, except for, you know, obesity. You can sit around and not do anything, get overweight. You can get out of shape very easily. I mean, there's some things you don't have to work hard for. Poor health, you don't have to work hard for that. You don't have to work hard to gain weight. Just eat and sit around and do nothing. But as far as Christianity goes, I wish that people would put as much time into their spiritual gymnastics as they do their physical shape, their physical well-being. And bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit some, and you should be active. But spiritual exercise, I would say, profits greatly. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And I believe that gain has to do with the gold, silver, and precious stones that God wants to reward you with, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And I say life to come, but truly we have that life already. We have the benefit of eternal life right now, so that we can be partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we can be partakers of that fruit of the Spirit, produce of the Spirit. And I believe that certainly does have something to do with this gold, silver, and precious stones. All right, we'll cut it off right here. A little bit of a short class, but we'll cut this class off right here, and we'll begin again next time in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16.